In early 2018, President Trump, in a speech, announced to the world his intentions on supporting the creation of a space force. While many of us shrugged it off as a joke or a lie, depending on your view of the president, he was dead serious on capitalizing on the work that had been done in the years prior. Discussions on the establishment of a space force have been going on for decades in small circles and behind closed doors. But by 2020, a space force will be the sixth operational branch of the U.S. military. In this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we will be looking at the United States Space Force. Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to. Welcome to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any particular information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. And you are always welcome. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PacSync, a Black activist advocacy and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through education, culture shift, and economics. Check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's PacSync.org. Leave a review, leave a comment, make a donation, tell a friend to tell a friend, become a member, become a sponsor, learning center, all that jazz. Do whatever you can to support them because they are doing whatever they can to support you. And without further ado, we're going to jump right on into this episode. We are talking about the United States Space Force. Yes, they couldn't come up with a better name. The Space Force. The government hasn't given birth to a new branch of military since the surgery that separated the Air Force from the Army in 1947. And while we know that the government loves its military, specifically its technology and active combat soldiers, because the government could care less about veterans, saying that as a veteran myself, it started to feel like the government felt like its military family was complete. The Coast Guard, the Navy, the Marines, and the Army were all created in the late 1700s. The National Guard was created in 1636, but you didn't know that was the first one. And as mentioned earlier, the Air Force was carved out in 1947, even though the Army and the Navy still have planes and pilots of their own. Now, with all that, air, land, sea, and borders seemed secure, with no need for additional members to the family. But for the last few decades, the U.S. government has been dealing with baby fever. And if you combine that with the fact that if the U.S. was a person, it'd be a hypochondriac, then you get a new branch of the military. Besides, everyone wants someone new to spend money on when the old people stop appreciating the money. Ever forward thinking, what happens when threats exist above the air? And this was one of many questions being asked in the 1930s and 1940s. Now, the government always attempts to solve a problem. And so it was decided that screaming, "Oh shit, we all gonna die," wasn't the proper American response to such a scenario. So in 1945, with the Army Air Forces, space development began in the United States. When the Air Force split from the Army 2 years later, it took most of the space development missions with it, and in 1962 became the sole branch for space development in America. Even during my time as an Air Force airman, I heard people refer to the branches the Air and Space Force. Although at the time, I never really thought about it in any meaningful way except to think about how weird the word space was, both in use and in definitions. And in 1982, the Air Force Space Command was created to merge all the different space assets in the Air Force under one banner. This was specific to the Air Force, as the Navy and the Army kept their space assets to themselves. Some of them. In 1985, the United States Space Command, or U.S. SpaceCom, was created to coordinate outer space missions by the armed forces. The commander of Space Command was also the commander of the U.S. Canadian North American Aerospace Defense Command, which was a binational endeavor by the U.S. and Canada, and was oftentimes the commander of the U.S. Air Force Space Command. All the various space commands had missions that centered around protection, defense, or support of national security through space assets and/or control of space domain. Now, the U.S. Spacecom was intended to have command of all the space assets of all the other branches. And after the September 11th attacks, U.S. Spacecom was restructured and placed under another joint command banner, and emphasis shifted away from space assets in favor of national defense cell fighting, small forces fighting. They had to find the terrorists. Around 2015, major talks about space asset organization would begin to gain steam again, and in 2017, Democrats and Republicans would both have representatives co-sponsoring bills and giving lectures on the necessity of an independent space command. These arguments, according to some historians, fall along the same lines as the arguments presented when the Air Force was seeking to gain independence. The strongest arguments being that having space command under the Air Force as it currently is means that space assets are not being fully and properly utilized, and that the overall mission to control the domain of space is not being achieved. Now, these arguments make the case that in order for us to properly assert control over space, Space Command needs the autonomy and the resources to make its own decisions without being concerned about other larger missions or circumstances that might take away from space. And by June of 2018, Trump was announcing and directing the Department of Defense to establish a space force while evoking images of galactic fleets, Star Wars scenes, and Star Trek diplomacy. And I might have mixed those two up, but I wanted to mention Star Wars and Star Trek since we're talking about the Space Command. So I did deal with it. In any case, it wasn't well received by many as it came from a highly polarizing president. And also because many people pointed out that space operations already existed under the Air Force, which is similar to how the conversation went when the Air Force was separated from the Army. In February of 2019, Space Policy Directive 4 was issued, officially creating the U.S. Space Force, which puts us on board with Russia, who established a space force in 1992 and was the first country to create an independent space force, and China, which created an independent space cyber force in 2015. Earlier in December of this year, earlier this month, Congress passed the National Defense Authorization Act, which directed $738 billion to the defense spending and relabeled Air Force Space Command as the U.S. Space Force. It is estimated that about 15,000 people will be transferred, mostly from the Air Force, to Space Command, and that it could cost as much as $12 billion over the next 5 years or so. Now, the Air Force will retain most of the training and infrastructure responsibilities as well as support roles for the space mission. This and a number of other things were done in an effort to reduce bureaucracy and inefficiencies and stress and leadership. All of these things posed severe problems when the Air Force separated from the Army, something that many still believe caused more problems than it solved. In one particular case, the director of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I believe it was, when the Air Force was separated from the Army, developed a severe case of stress and fatigue, and later on committed suicide. So that goes to show you just how stressful it was when the Air Force left the Army. Now, according to Director 4, Space Command will have six priorities. Number one, priority number one. Oh, wait. Before we get into this, let's back up. So we're going to put the little music thing in, take a small break, get some water, then we're going to come right back. Now, the Space Command, according to Directive 4, will have six priorities. Priority 1, protecting the nation's interest in space and the peaceful use of space for all responsible actors consistent with applicable law, including international law. Now, that is just the funniest thing ever, because space is like, it's fucking space, right? It's huge. It's everywhere. Like, it's big. And so they are going to protect the nation's interest in space and the peaceful use of space for all responsible actors consistent with applicable law, including international law. I don't know. That's just funny to me that you think that we would even put that as a mission statement, that we are going to protect and police space. That's, I don't know. Okay, anyways. Number two, ensuring unfettered use of space for the United States national security purposes. The United States economy and the United States persons are partners and allies. And on further note, you know what this makes me think of? So when it comes to this space conversation, are they going to like say like everything above the United States is the United States space control? And so as the planet spins, we're only like really looking out for this area of space that directly sits on top of the United States landmass or the United States territories, meaning that at certain parts of the day, this planet might fall into the United States space territory, and then another part of the day, it might fall into another nation's, or maybe the moon, like as it's circling the globe, when it's over the United States, does it fall into the United States space jurisdiction? And like when it's over Russia, does it fall over under Russia's jurisdiction? Like, how is that all going to work out? Like, how do you, who controls the space and what dictates? Anyway, so that's neither here nor there. So number three, deterring aggression and defending the nation. The United States allies, United States interests from hostile acts in and from space. So, like, are we going to be cool with an alien race that wants to destroy all life on the planet except the life in the United States? Are the United States allies? Like, so we don't defend from that? Anyways, number four, ensuring that needed space capabilities are integrated and available to all United States combat commands. Interesting. Number five, projecting military power in, from, and to space in support of our nation's interests. Now, this is real interesting because the projecting of military power is oftentimes what people have issue with. Casual displays of military might, or even a non-casual, direct and discriminate displays of military might. So now you're talking. Now we are talking about potential satellites, potential missiles, potential Starfleet commands, potential intergalactic fleets and starships and things like that. That all counts as the projection of military might. So now we are getting into the realm where everybody said that's not where we're going. Anyways, and number six, developing, maintaining, and improving a community of professionals focused on the national security demands of the space domain. So like in Armageddon, when the asteroid or the meteor or the big rock that was flying through space was getting ready to smash into the earth and kill us all. So with the pilots and the people that they sent into with the diamond drill bits to split the thing up so that it would bypass us, would that be under space command? It probably would. That last one was a stupid question. Anyways, so moving forward. Now, the scope of the Space Command does not include NASA or NOAA, the NOAA, or other non-military organizations. And like other branches, it will have a civilian component. And while right now it can be worded as a huge achievement for Trump, and it is a huge achievement for Trump, at this current moment on its surface, is really just a rebranding of something that was already in place at the moment with plans to grow it into something more significant. So what does this mean? What is the U.S. Space Force? What does that mean for us? Well, for one, it means that we can't run into outer space and hide from the government no more. Never mind how we was going to get there to begin with. The idea that creating a space force will solve the problems of the underutilized, under-resourced, underfunded a space mission of the United States, that creating a space force will allow the United States to catch up in the space race, is an interesting idea. And I don't think it's without merit, but the question always has to be asked, is it going to solve more problems than it creates? And in that sense, I don't think that it will. The Air Force did not solve more problems than it created when it split from the Army. You look at one of the most well-known airplanes in existence today that most people are aware of is the A-10 tank destroyer. Now, for those of you that don't know, I'm sure you know what the plane looks like. It's one of the most distinguished planes in American history. It's essentially a gigantic rail gun with a plane, or a gigantic chain gun with a plane built around it. All of you have seen it with the two engines on the back with the propeller spinning, and it's got that big gun up front that spins and shoots out bullets. The Air Force does not like that plane. It has been trying to retire that plane for a very long time. And one of the reasons why it's trying to retire that plane is because that plane exists as a primary support structure plane for the Army and the Marines and the ground troops missions. So it goes in and it makes it easier for them to achieve their missions, but it doesn't do much for the Air Force's mission of maintaining air superiority, because that plane isn't very good in a dogfight between two airplanes, two military fighter jets. So it also doesn't assist in the Air Force's role with supporting the Air Force's bombers, which the Air Force's bombers are kind of the way they want to go with supporting ground troops. So because of that, the Air Force has the responsibility of maintaining the plane, and maintaining training for the plane, and maintaining operational data for the plane. But in missions that the plane is utilized in, the Air Force doesn't get a lot of the responsibility, because primarily it's a support role for ground troops. Ground troops get the bulk of the rewards or the acknowledgement for successful missions. And that doesn't bode well in a bureaucratic state like ours, where the Air Force wants to prove and legitimize its existence. And the only way it can do that is to show how its role is majorly important to the United States defense. Nobody wants to be Batman. I'm sorry, nobody wants to be Robin. Everybody wants to be Batman. Nobody necessarily wants to be support. Nobody wants to be the sidekick, because the sidekicks were seen as... the sidekicks are seen as replaceable. So when the Air Force came in, they did what they could to make themselves seem as important as possible. And indeed, the Air Force is important. But the Air Force under the Army was able to be a support structure, and that was fine because they were underneath the Army. So supporting the mission of the Army wasn't a big deal. It was one of the things that it was designed to do. The moment you separated that out and made it its own entity with its own mission, now it has its own legitimacy issues that it has to continuously contend with as it fights for resources and funds. And indeed, there have been a number of cases where the Air Force has resisted in implementing or going along with certain missions that the Marines or the Navy and the Army viewed as necessary, because those missions wouldn't necessarily allow the Air Force to stand out as a mission essential component in its own right, which in some regards is why the Navy and the Army still have, not in total respects, but in some light, may be why the Navy and the Army still have planes and still have fighters in their own branches to support their own missions, because oftentimes it's easier to just develop support for yourself than to get another branch to support you when they have other motives and other things going on. I don't see the Space Force being any different from that. A lot of the times when you try to split things up, you actually end up creating double work, which is in and of itself a form of inefficiency, a form of waste. And you end up creating more bureaucracy. More people have to be in the room to make a decision, which makes the decision that makes it take that much longer for the decision to be made. And so you run into this whole host of bureaucratic, cultural and legitimacy problems with separating things out like this. And I just don't know that that stuff is being adequately considered. But I also think that there's a political thing going on here where people want, and this has been something that's been growing for a while, but people want to put forth a certain face. So the Democrats right now have been going along with a lot of Trump initiatives even while they impeach him. They want to put forth a certain face. The Republicans, I'm going to be honest, I try to be fair and balanced, but it really seems like the Republicans are just really enjoying gagging on Trump's balls. So they're just going along with whatever. And I really try to be fair, and there are some things that Trump says and does what does as far as policy that I'm like, okay, I can get with that. But just say that this has been the greatest president we've had in the history of the United States, as some of them have said, or even in recent memory, that's just a struggle. But I do think that they're just going along. So they're going to give them that. The Democrats see this as basically a rebranding of the Air Force Space Command, which is already in existence. So they're going to give them a win, similar to what happened with the NAFTA situation, where the United States, Canada, Mexico deal is basically revisited NAFTA. So with some significant changes, but for the most part, it is what it is. So I think that that's at play here as well. It's an easy thing for them to give him that doesn't cost anything right now, although it could potentially cost something later down the line. But let's be honest, military spending is increasingly growing anyway, so I don't really see that as shifting things too much. But what does this mean for black people specifically? Well, it's another branch of the military for us to enlist in, for us to stick our kids into. It's going to be a small branch, probably going to be harder to get in, so I don't foresee us going a lot of different directions for that. More importantly, though, is the technology that will be developed. This is going to be a branch of government, a branch of the military that is heavily technologically focused. It doesn't have the air mission of controlling the air. It doesn't have the ground mission of controlling the ground or the sea mission of controlling the seas. It has a mission of controlling a segment of the universe that is basically unpatrollable at this current moment through manpower uses. You have to develop the technology in order to do what needs to be done in the space domain. And a lot of our lifestyle changes, a lot of our lifestyle technological improvements, quality of life technological improvements, stem from military applications being reshaped for civilian use. And so the question there becomes, what sort of scanning technology, what sort of surveying technology will be created by the Space Force's drive to get better at its mission of protecting us from space threats? What part of that technological advancement is going to be used in dealings with black people, either in the surveillance angle, in the suppression angle, or in any other angle that might be placed out there? And the other thing to consider here is, what role will we have in even developing some of those space assets? We do know that a lot of the innovations done to inventions over the years have been made by black people, a disproportionate amount of them. So how will we aid in that? And is there an opportunity there for us to develop some sort of wealth for our communities through this? The questions abound. At the end of the day, I think for me, the bigger threat is the technological advancements that will basically stem from a branch of the military whose sole purpose is to survey and scan an area of the universe of reality that is too big to patrol with manpower. That is a very sobering thought, to think about what type of technology they're going to develop to do that mission and how that technology can be redirected back on the people. Black people in particular. But it is a thought nonetheless, and one that we should take very seriously. But on the whole, I just thought it was very interesting, because this does seem to be moving through with very little fanfare, very little people talking about it. And I understand why. The impeachment is serious. It's significant. The third president to be impeached in American history. That is a historic accomplishment for Donald Trump. If he wants to wear it, he should, because he earned it. But you know, let me know what you guys think. Let me know how you feel. What do you think about the Space Force? and what do you think the threats are from it? This has been Lessons from the Screen, and I will see you next week on the next episode. Thank you for tuning in.
Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
I want to thank you guys once again for listening to Lessons from the Screen. I want to ask you guys to go to, if you have an Android device, go to the Google Play Store, type in Freedom Train Radio. You'll see the logo of the train. Download the app, get the app. It'll keep you up to date on all of the shows and everything else that's going on here at the Freedom Train Network. Also, head on over to www.freedomtrainradio.com and check out all the shows. Leave comments, leave reviews. If you want to reach us or say anything to us, that's the best way to do it. Because if you just reach out through your social media, your a podcast listening app or YouTube or whatever, we don't check all of those things, but we do check the website. So go there. Also, I just want to thank you guys once again for tuning in, and see you next week. Let me know what you think about the show you just listened to. Let me know if you agree, disagree, you felt like I missed something, whatever it is, just holla at your boy, and I will see you next week or whenever the next show comes out. And if you are interested in sponsoring the show again, hit us up on the Freedom Train Radio website and let us know that you're interested in sponsoring a particular show or the entire network.